Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you tonight. Trust you've had a good afternoon, and back tonight ready to worship our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What we want to do before we get into the rest of the service is just take a couple of minutes and greet each other. Personally, I'm sure glad to see you tonight. Hope and trust that God's blessing you. And, of course, we've got a special night tonight. A few things going on. We're going to have baptism in a little bit. And then there's a little activity going on with the ladies this evening. Wedding shower. And so we're excited about that as well. Well, let's take a couple minutes right now and shake some hands.
Make your way back to your seat and stay standing. Turn to page number 357.
Thank you.
sign to page number 23. I'm so glad I can say that I'm part of the family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part.
Crowd here this evening. I wonder why. Gentlemen, if y'all come forward to receive this evening's offering, we'll go over a few announcements. If you'll notice in the middle of our bulletin, we have a little schedule for the missions conference coming up. But consequently, it hid an announcement that I failed to make this morning. And this ladies' meeting this week, Thursday, ladies' fellowship, Thursday at 7 o'clock. Got it done this time. Got a baptism resort tonight, obviously, and then we're having a wedding shower tonight. There's another one coming Saturday, it looks like. Well, it's 2 weeks, isn't it? Anyway, on the 26th, the Barton Black wedding, Beck wedding, should I say. Friends of Faith activity on the 19th. And we still need some volunteers for Project Nativity, and obviously one of the very most important jobs that we could have here is some volunteers for prayer warriors. So please consider that. So let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful day you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful message you've given us this morning, Lord. And right now we're asking you to be at the offering about to receive, be at the gift and the giver, and be at the preacher as he comes tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
get us. We have some young ladies. What is that? Quintet here. Thank you, ladies. Well, I'm going to have Brother John Schrader come and just tell us a little bit about himself here for a minute. But he's missionary to Zambia. But isn't that a beautiful banner up there? And thank April for doing such a beautiful job and putting those together. And we are extremely blessed to have somebody so good with graphics. And not have to farm that out somewhere. And so appreciate April doing that. But also, it's up there to remind us of something. Obviously, Missions Conference is coming up. And beginning the 23rd, Wednesday the 23rd, just a few short days away now, about 10 days from now. And so please, please be in prayer concerning Missions Conference. And of course, it's annually, Faith Promise Missions Conference. We focus on missions, but a part of that is discerning what God's will for each of us is concerning our Faith Promise giving for the coming year. So be in prayer about that. I'm going to ask Brother Schrader to come, though, and just give a testimony about himself, his family, and their ministry.
Thank you, Pastor.
You do all that in about 5 minutes.
I've got my countdown. How's it going? It is an honor to be here. I did not expect to get to give a testimony. I'm here to spend some time with Brother Bruce Martin. Met his father 7 years ago. He's one of my heroes of the faith and have wanted to meet Brother Bruce ever since then. And so the Lord has crossed our paths. Knew Brother Hudson. Growing up, he pastored not far from where my father pastors, down near Houston. And so I feel at home. But even though this is my first service to attend here. After pastoring for 6 years as an associate pastor and 4 years as a senior pastor, God finally said yes. I have wanted to be a missionary since I was a boy. My parents love missions. They instilled that and passed that love on to me. And when my wife and I were married 12 years ago, we thought the Lord would take us right to the field immediately. He did not do so and had many lessons to teach us. I'm glad I didn't go then because I did not have the philosophy of missions that I do today, thanks to Brother Martin and men like him. And but God is really working in Zambia. And God brought a pastor for our little church there. My wife and I had 8 8 children. The oldest is 10. So God has brought us many blessings rapidly. When you see my prayer card, I often joke, no, we did not hold up a daycare. They're all ours. And so 4 boys, 4 girls, and they are ready to go to Zambia. They're excited. My wife is excited. My wife and I took a survey trip, and then I've made a second return trip. On our survey trip, I had the incredible joy to see a witch doctor repent, turn away from his sin. And he was sick and tired of the demons telling him what to do. And it was so precious to hear him thank God for creating him, for sending Jesus Christ to die for his sins, and to see the literal change from darkness to light. I tell you what, if you haven't led someone to Christ ever or in a while, there's nothing like it in the world. And as the scripture says, they're also in Romans 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? There's a man in Zambia that went and sat under a mango tree for 17 years. He said, God, I believe you exist, but I don't know how to find out about you. Would you send me someone? And he prayed that prayer for 17 years. And God finally sent a missionary. And on my second trip to Africa, I was privileged to meet a man that knew about religion, went to a church. We were told it was a Baptist church. They didn't have a clue what a Baptist church was. Pastor wasn't saved, didn't have any desire to talk about what salvation was. He was just there for the money. But this man, men's leader in his church named Eddie, said, I've been praying for 15 years. He said, 3 years ago, we sat down with our pastor and asked him to teach us about the Bible. He talked for 3 hours and didn't say anything. And in the second poorest nation in the world, this man threw up his... I got the privilege of leading him and his wife very carefully, going through the scripture, making sure they understood. And he got gloriously saved. We got to disciple him while we were there for a couple more weeks. And as well as the song leader, he got saved or not. And this man, the days before we left, he threw up his hands. The second poorest nation in the world. And he said, I'm rich. I'm rich. Because I'm saved, and I have a Bible, and I can understand it, and he's starting to grow in grace. And one of the things that struck us when we went to Zambia was everywhere we went, they asked us for Bibles. We had a colonel in the military say, anytime you want, we'll put 1,000 soldiers under a tent, and you can preach Jesus to us. We had a captain of a police force in one of the larger cities say, would you please come teach my men about the Lord Jesus Christ? And for 10 years as a pastor, as associate and a senior, I sought for men to disciple. 2 Timothy 2:2 is my passion. It's my life verse. And I found in 10 years two men that wanted to be a 2 Timothy 2:2 and following disciple. They're in Zambia. I've got a man in Burundi that's going to move to Zambia, 25 years old, orphaned in the war. And he is just so on fire for God and wants us to come train him so he can reach his people. And we've got men asking us to disciple them. They're searching for me. They're asking for me to come and teach them there. So we are going to plant indigenous churches, pastored by indigenous pastors that are self-supporting, self-propagating, self-governing churches. So excited to be with y'all. And I appreciate the opportunity, Pastor, to share a little bit about our ministry.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Schrader. And again, I met Brother Schrader, let's see, about 30 minutes ago. And appreciate him. And, you know, there's lots of times I just don't go ahead and let fellows give testimony. But he came on pretty good recommendations. And if he isn't straight, I know if he by the time he leaves Temple, Milton Martin will sure try to have him straight. But I had plans of doing something entirely different, as you see on the screens. But I'm not going to do that. Just don't feel led to even over the last 15 minutes. The Lord's kind of changed my heart on what to talk about this evening. And so I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles this evening. You can go ahead and kill that. Thank you, Joseph. We'll pick up with that next week or sometime. But turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, if you would, this evening. Of course, we're going to have baptism here in a little bit. And I'd just like to talk about some things from the book of Acts concerning baptism and how God indeed is a God that continues to accomplish tremendous and amazing things. Even in our church here in these days, it's a privilege this evening, of course, to baptize 3 ladies that have been saved. And of course, 2 of them recently, one that's been saved for a while and surrendered to follow the Lord in obedience in baptism. You know, we'd think in the book of Acts and in chapter 2, and we're mindful of what went on there in that day day, what we commonly call the day Pentecost. And what went on there in that church, forgive me, I'm Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. So it's in the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, started by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as He returned to glory and fulfilled His promise to send the Holy Spirit there on the day of Pentecost, and that promise was fulfilled. And Peter and the other apostles, the disciples, those first members of that church, preachers of that group, filed out into the city streets that day and preached the good gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and victory over sin in the grave. And in response to that, we understand that there were many saved that day. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, these tremendous words where it says, "Then they that gladly received His word," those that indeed believed that message that Peter had preached, and they had received that word, receiving not only the preached word, but the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those ones were baptized. The same day, there was added unto them, added unto that church there in Jerusalem, about 3,000 souls. Well, that's what we're doing tonight times 1,000. Can you imagine that? Those preachers were waterlogged by the time they got out of the river that day. But we rejoice with, of course, that church. We rejoice every time somebody would make that profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and, again, submit in obedience to follow Christ in believer's baptism. I've told you the story about a guy named Jim Turner and how I laughed when my wife first told me about what that was back there behind the choir loft, you know. And I'm sure I've told you as I wear out illustrations like every other Baptist preacher. And, you know, when she was explaining to me the first time I ever sat down in a Baptist church about what was going on and explained to me this and that and the other thing. And I remember asking her, what's that space back there? Why is that space? Why is there a hole in that wall behind the choir? And she explained to me what was back there, that the baptistry was there. And a baptistry? What in the world's a baptistry? And of course, I was dumb as a box of rocks. I didn't know nothing. I was that proverbial guy that didn't know the apostles from the epistles. I mean, there wasn't no joking about it. I didn't know. And so she explained to me what a baptistry was. And I laughed. She said, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "You'll never see me back there." And I guess it was about 2 years later, because I'm one of them dense guys that, you know, there's a lot of thickness between these two ears. You know, it was going in, but it wasn't making contact. It took 2 years. God, the Holy Spirit finally broke through, turned the lights on one night in December of 1974, and I got saved. And I remembered that next Sunday. I don't know what day of the week it was. I just know I got saved that night. I can remember it as if it was yesterday. Didn't think. Didn't even know you were supposed to mark that down somewhere. But I remember going to church that Sunday, and we had one of them singers from at the church that we were attending, Independent Baptist Church, from the old time gospel hour. You remember that with Jerry Falwell when it meant something? And a guy named Mac Evans was singing at the church that day. I remember his name and remember him. And I'm sitting back there. I forget where I was sitting and just couldn't wait for them to be quiet and get done so I could go forward. And I went forward and the preacher met me there and he says, "Why are you coming?" And I said, "Well, I got saved this week. I want to get baptized and be part of this church."
Amen.
God changes things. God changes our attitude about things. God changes our will about things. I knew that was something I ought to do. And God broke down Jim Turner's will and got things straightened away. And all I wanted to do was follow God. And if that's what I ought to do, then let's do it. And so, of course, we were baptized. And we were gladly, I like that, gladly received His word. There wasn't no sorrow that day. It was all good. when we received the Word of God. And of course, as we see, they were baptized. There's this matter of baptism. I'm mindful of this in Acts chapter 8, where Philip the evangelist is sent out into the middle of nowhere. I mean, what a calling. Go out there in the middle of nowhere. I've got an appointment for you, Philip. Sure enough, he finds it in verse 29. It says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And of course, this chariot was the Ethiopian eunuch on his way back home. He'd been up to Jerusalem and he's on his way back. And the Holy Spirit instructs Philip to go there and to talk to this eunuch. And of course, as we read in the passage, we find out that the eunuch was reading from his Bible. He was reading from Isaiah chapter 53 about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 32, "The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And of course, the eunuch was very interested in this passage, but he didn't understand what it was all about. And Philip said, of course, the eunuch asked Philip, says, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" And look at these glorious words. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, declared unto him Jehovah's salvation, the hope that you and I share in Christ this evening." And again, they went on their way. And it seems as we would proceed here that Philip did more than just tell him about Jesus. He told him about what Jesus had done and how that, you know, caught him up, we might say, so to speak, and explained some things to him and indeed must have talked to him something about baptism. Well, how do you know that? Well, verse 36, it says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, I hope you have a King James Bible this evening. Because if you're here with a NIV, verse 37 in there. This crucial truth is not in your Bible. Philip said in verse 37, "If thou believest with all thy heart," if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, "thou mayest." What's the condition of baptism? Salvation. Believing indeed in Jesus Christ and what He has done for you to deliver you from your sin. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe in Jehovah's salvation, His anointed one, the very Son of God." Hey, that's not a bad testimony. That's not a bad profession of faith. You know, brother, you're going to Zambia. I was in Kenya many years ago. I don't know, about 15 or so years ago. And I was with a missionary friend of mine, and we was walking through an area where some folks were selling some things. And a fellow was there, and he had a cloth spread out on the ground, and he had a few Bibles there. And my friend, he walked up, and he picked up one of the Bibles, and it happened to be an NIV. And he didn't think twice about it. He says, "How come you're selling these incomplete Bibles? How come you're selling these bad Bibles?" And the guy said, "Oh, no, that's a good Bible. It's everything there. Oh, it's a complete Bible." And so my friend, he handed the Bible back to him, and he said, "Well, do me a favor, would you look up and find Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 for me?" And so he did. He starts turning the pages, and of course we were in Kisii, Kenya, in western Kenya, and might I say, hopefully you understand when I say this, that we were probably the only two pale faces around. And so wherever we go, we would kind of draw some attention. And so there were some others that started gathering around as we were talking with this fella, this Bible salesman. And as he starts leafing through the Bible, we could see as he got to Acts, and he got to Acts chapter 8, we could see him almost turn. No, he didn't turn white. But we could see the panic on his face. It was so obvious. And others started gathering around and asking him questions. And he says, okay, read verse 37 for us. I can't. And he says, well, why can't you? He says, well, it's not there. That's right, it's not there. And we started to walk away because everybody else started asking, why are you selling bad Bibles here? Well, they were bad Bibles. But just to illustrate, beloved, we're supposed to be talking about King James Bible this evening. I thought I would throw that in so we wouldn't miss that part. Of course, the instruction. At that point, they commanded the chariots to stand still, and they went down both into the water. You wouldn't have had to do that if they weren't practicing baptism by immersion. And the very word baptize means the dip, the plunge, just what it means. I'm not advocating changing the name on our church, but we could be called the Dunkers or the Immersers. The Metropolitan Immerser Church. That's what it means. They went down into the water. They didn't send the driver down to get a glass of water or get a canteen or get a dropper full or something like that. No, the eunuch and Philip went down into the water. And as it goes on, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Or he what him? Immersed him. He plunged him beneath the water. And of course, it says, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Now, we could look at some other passages of Scripture. Back in Acts chapter 2, in verse 38, we find that there Peter is commanded to baptize. And those that are saved are essentially commanded to be baptized. So, beloved, we teach as a Bible-believing Baptist church that baptism is a step, and indeed should be that first step of obedience for the new believer. And it's not, we don't baptize lost folks. I've been doing a lot of reading history lately, And even the early history of our nation in the 1600s and the early 1700s, there was a lot of debate about this very thing, just who should be baptized. And they began to baptize, they called it baptized, they began to sprinkle and so forth, unregenerate folks, unsaved folks, and making them part of the church. Well, beloved, that's totally unbiblical. What happens if you start baptizing, quote unquote, baptizing and adding lost folks to the church membership? Essentially, in a very reality, within a generation, you could have a lost church where nobody is essentially saved. So we realize that is an unscriptural practice. And in fact, that is why we as independent Bible-believing Baptists call baptism believers' baptism. It is a baptism that believers submit themselves to. And as we as a church are commanded to baptize, we also see the other side of that thing, that those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's a step of obedience then to follow the Lord in baptism. Now, we could go on and look at some other passages, but I like to lay that out. And I said something in a Wednesday night lesson here a few weeks ago, I believe, before we went to Argentina, that my authority, this evening I'll be officiating to baptize these three ladies. My authority to baptize rests in the local church. The authority doesn't rest in me. I don't carry that authority with me. If I was to take a trip over to Israel or something like that, I could say, okay, let's just go have a baptism down at the Jordan River. No. No, that isn't the way it works. A baptism is something that is fulfilled in and through the local church and its auspices. And so when we baptize these young ladies this evening. They follow the Lord in believer's baptism. They've been saved, I should say. They follow the Lord in baptism, and they are added to the fellowship here. And then as I baptize, those believers, those candidates for baptism, become members of my authority to baptize Metropolitan Baptist Church. Now you say, why are you going through all that? Because we need to do it once in a while. It's just a good thing to do, to refresh our thinking and our understanding of what baptism is all about. I love to baptize. You know why? Why do you think I love to baptize? Means somebody got saved. Yeah, that's right, brother. It means somebody got saved. And so, hey, we were talking a minute ago. Bruce was talking about someone in the Spanish church. He works with swimming pools and told them that they could fix it up so we could just keep the water in there. And we could be ready, set, go whenever we needed to. And hey, that's all right with me. It's a good thing. It's one of those, we've been talking about healthy ingredients of the local church. Baptism. Baptism is a measure, is an indication of a healthy church. Amen. Lord help us that we would be regularly baptizing those that would come to faith in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you're not going to believe this. What are you laughing about over here? We're going to pray, and I'm going to dismiss these young ladies to get ready to baptize. How about that? You never thought the preacher would say that at 6:45? Hey, when you're done, you're done. Let's stand, folks. Father, we love you tonight. We're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I'm thankful that you have been pleased to save precious souls. Father, thank you that they gladly received your word, gladly received your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that even this evening you might be pleased to help us as a church to rejoice together with them, rejoice with the angels of glory over those that have been saved, and Father, rejoice over the ongoing work and ministries here at Metropolitan. Thank you, Father, for this group that has gathered tonight. Thank you for the young ladies. Thank you for family and friends. Thank you for the church family that would take part, witness the testimony of these ones of their salvation and their desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, identify with Him. Lord, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, and we thank you for it all. But Lord, I'd also pray that even as we've talked about this beautiful picture of what you've done for us tonight. Lord, if there be anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, please, might this be a testimony to them of your goodness, your testimony to them of your continued working in hearts and lives. Pray, Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be magnified and glorified in those hearts and in those lives. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's sing a song before we break up. Pardon? We'll use it either way.
483.
Colton asked, was it an invitation or just a song? Well, we always invite folks to Jesus. If you realize you're here, if you're here tonight and you realize you need Christ, we're here to point you to Him, help you to come into that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You obey the Lord, please.
There came a sound from heaven.
rushing mighty wind, it filled their hearts with singing and gave them peace within. The prophet gave this promise: the Spirit will descend, and from your inner being a river with no end. There is a river flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry.
Amen. Thank you. Well, you can be seated, ladies. Miss Marcia, are you going to help the ladies? And we'll go ahead. You can come and lead a song or two. Or whatever. What are we doing? Okay.
All right. You can remain seated. I know you probably closed your books, but let's sing the second verse of that song. I was reading it, and I thought this is perfect for what we talked about this morning. It says, "There was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted, and her soul was bound for hell. Then she met the Master, who told of her great sin, and if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again." And that was us whenever we were saved. We were that soul bound for hell, hopeless, looking at eternity, not being able to see what's on the other side. But now because of Christ, because of that river, we can be saved. Let's sing on that second.
There was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. Master, who told of her great sin, and if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again.
Ready now? Do you have any suggestions? Any suggestions for a song? 157. She was quick to it.
She was ready. All right. Jesus Paid It All. That's a good song. We'll do 157.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is strong. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you very much.
She's here following the Lord in believer's baptism. What we do here this evening doesn't add anything to what Jesus Christ has already done for her. It's her testimony to you of what He has done, that He has saved her from her sin and given her everlasting life in Himself. So, David, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And it's your desire this evening to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church.
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand over this way instead of me. And you hold on there and you pitch your. There you go. David, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Bury the likeness of his death. Pray for the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Elizabeth Lopez, and she was saved a few weeks ago at a youth meeting, and we're rejoicing that. I love it when they get saved young. And praying God keep her and protect her all the days of her life. And Elizabeth, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and it's your desire to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church. Amen. Elizabeth, upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Bury the likeness of the dead. Pray in the likeness of the resurrection. Okay, this is Alyssa, and she's been saved for a while. And she, with her little sister, decided it was time that she present herself for baptism. So we rejoice in that as well. And Melissa, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's your desire to follow the Lord and believe in baptism and unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church. Here's Melissa, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
One last time, could we be dismissed with hymn number 41 that you were just playing? That's There Is a Fountain, if you know the song. We can be dismissed with There Is a Fountain. And then Chelsea's wedding shower is going to be down the hall, and I believe in the pastor's classroom. I believe. So they can head on that direction right afterward. There is a fountain.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains.
Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.